Shalom Mishpocha, Shalom family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. We're the Mishpocha, the family with the Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, it's finally come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest, Tom Horn, I'll tell you what, Tom, if someone felt Jesus is coming 1,000 years from now and he's not coming back soon, when they get a hold of your brand new book, Zenith 2016, they will change their entire paradigm. What do you believe after gathering all these facts? Is Jesus going to return in your lifetime?
Oh, absolutely. I would be absolutely astonished, but of course, if I die and go to heaven and meet with him there, and it hasn't yet happened yet, I'll be happy about that too. But it's hard, Sid, to look around the world right now and not see prophecy in every possible way being fulfilled. In fact, Matthew 24:37, it talks about as it was in the days of Noah. And I would challenge anybody to examine what's going on right now in the genetic sciences, and not see that we are, for the first time since the Great Flood, repeating something that happened only once before in history, and it didn't end very well the last time around.
You're talking about the Nephilim, when the fallen angels went into the daughters of man and produced these great giants. Tell me about this genetic engineering that's going on.
Yeah. Well, in fact, you know, I spoke not long ago at the Science and Supernatural Conference in Dayton, Ohio, and I went there convinced that most Ohioans are unaware how in their state, their tax dollars, in preparation of what's being called a post-human revolution, their tax dollars are being invested. Case Law School in Cleveland was awarded almost $1 million from the National Institute of Health to actually begin developing the guidelines that are going to be used for creating the blueprint of a new form of humanity that will arrive by genetic enhancement. We're talking about, you know, one of our universities. And Maxwell Melman, who is the professor of bioethics there at Case Law School of Medicine, he led the team. He got the grant. He led the team of law professors, physicians, bioethicists, over a two-year period that ended not long ago, to develop the standards for tests using human subjects. Now, we don't know in what way they were using human subjects, but using them in order to create genetic technologies to enhance and alter normal individuals for the next step in human evolution.
Okay, but so what's the advantage of doing this? Why are we spending our money?
Well, so many, especially those who work in germline genetic engineering, are saying we've invested a great deal of money to try to figure out how to cure diseases, how to create a stronger individual. We even have a constitutional responsibility when you think that we have rights that have to do with life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that every individual has a right to lead a healthier life, a longer life. And so a great deal of research monies, which come from the taxpayers, are being pulled now into the genetic sciences. And it's for the purposes of creating healthier humans, per se. But you may have seen in the news, for instance, recently in Britain, where there was a child that was created out of three parents, two women and one man. But in order to create that embryo, they had to change it at the germline genetic level. And this was a kind of a line over which we've now crossed that many have been afraid of for a long time. Why? Because when you alter the human species at the germline level, those alterations pass down to all succeeding generations. So in other words, it's not like somebody goes into a genetics laboratory, you know, and gets some enhancement that makes them run better. But if they have children, that's not going to be passed on to them. Germline changes, which we're making now, will pass to all succeeding generations. And this sounds very reminiscent of what happened in the days of Noah, where alterations to the human species ultimately led to the contamination of all human and animal genetics, and therefore led to the judgment of God.
Now, you talk about, in your book, combining human DNA with animal DNA. Where did you get that?
It's happening all over the world. Would you be surprised, maybe your listeners might, to know that literally tens of thousands of laboratories, including in the United States and Britain and all of the leading countries, right now are creating part human, part animal chimeras for research purposes. For instance, you could go to Google right now and you could type in "scientists want debate on animals with human genes," and you would find a reputable Reuters News article. And it hints at how far scientists have come and how far they intend to go with human and animal hybridization. That, in fact, the article starts out saying this: a mouse that can speak, a monkey with Down's syndrome, dogs with human hands or feet. British scientists want to know if such experiments are acceptable, end quote. And then, of course, the article goes on with revelations.
Now, would these transhumans be human? Would they be able to vote? Would they have freedom? I mean, these are all some major things that have to be worked out by society. Would it be possible to have a half wolf and a half man and have them part of a military SWAT team?
Yeah, well, it's interesting you bring that up. Some of the leading law schools in the world right now are creating white papers in which they're saying that, for instance, crime scene investigation, CSI, is going to have to adapt to these new realities, because in the future, if you were analyzing a crime scene that was perpetrated, for instance, by something that was half human and half wolf, perhaps nothing we know about profiling that crime scene would apply any longer. Now, we're talking legitimate, largest in the world universities. Furthermore, for instance, the Brookings Institute. This is the number one think tank in the world. It is the number one think tank in the United States that bends the ear of U.S. congressmen and lawmakers. And right now, you can go to their website and look up their Future of the Constitution series. And they're talking right now about your very question, Sid, about how we're going to have to alter and add language to the Bill of Rights, to the U.S. Constitution, to define how the Bill of Rights and the U.S. Constitution could be extended to human non-humans. In other words, what they're saying is we are poised now to begin creating forms of humanity, first probably on the battlefield, and then later on through the whole hybrid age phenomenon, human enhancement phenomenon. We are about to start creating forms of human that are so unlike those that God made that it cannot be assumed that they would be protected under our current constitutional and Bill of Rights privileges. So there is if a person goes to Google and just types in the hybrid age, they'll find dozens of documents that are coming from the university level. And what they're saying is this: what we already have done to genetically modified crops, what we already have done to genetically and transgenically created animals that are part one animal, part another animal, and what we already have done to genetically modified humans, at least at the embryonic level, we are now poised to enter into a new revolution.
All right, but let me ask you something. How does this technology tie in with the whole Antichrist system?
Well, how it ties into the Antichrist system is that many have believed for some time that the Antichrist may not be entirely human, that he may be something else. The book of Revelation talks about him as he who was and is not and yet shall be, and how that the whole world will marvel at this person who once was and then he wasn't, meaning at the time of the writing of the book of Revelation, he was dead or he wasn't on the world anymore, something. Now all of a sudden he's back again. And many believe that this is implies something that may have to do with genetics. You know, we're talking right now about bringing the woolly mammoth back from the dead. We have the technology now. We really do. If we can find intact DNA, we have the technology to resurrect, to bring back from the dead species that have been extinct for literally hundreds and perhaps in some cases thousands of years. And some think that when we're talking about the Antichrist, that that's the kind of technology that could be used. But even if you didn't go into that part of it, how this is prophetic is, it seems like what we're doing now was only ever done once before. We only have one history of a time when these, let's call them genetic scientists, came down to the earth in the days of Jared, and they took the genetics of women, animals, maybe more than that, maybe even plants, and they created this construct that we call the Nephilim. It wasn't human, and it couldn't be redeemed. It didn't have a redeemable soul, but it was something into which they could extend themselves. Now, that's, God dealt with that, and it's very clear that the flood came because the Bible says all flesh, both man and beast, had been corrupted. So God dealt with that. But now, for the first time since the time of the flood, we are entering into a period of time where it looks like man is repeating something that only ever happened once before, in that we are crossing over the species barrier.
Tom, we're out of time, unfortunately, but tell me about this brand new book, Zenith 2016. What does it cover?
Well, it covers starting from the Freemasons to the end of the Mayan calendar, and we go into why Christians should care about what that means, the role of Pope Francis, the final pope. There's 800-year-old prophecy of Rabbi Judah ben Samuel, and so many of these who were pointing to something starting in the year 2012 that would reach its zenith in the year 2016. And the big question around, did they know something? Is there an occultic energy that is operating here to bring about the arrival of the Antichrist?
You know, I'm reminded the last time I interviewed you, you literally died. And 5 minutes later, you came back to life. And a week after that, God spoke a scripture to you. What was that scripture?
Yes, this was in the book of Job, and it said that in the nighttime, in deep sleep, in slumbering upon the bed, then the righteous receive the instructions from God, and that God does this to hide pride from man.
Well, I'm convinced that this book, Zenith 2016, was part of the instructions that God sealed within you. I want everyone to get this information. Zenith 2016, available for a gift of $40. It includes a special teaching DVD that is unique to our ministry, as well as a teaching CD. To hear this week's interview or watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural!, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 704-943-6500. That's 704-943-6500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation to Sid Roth. That's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278.